This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In other words, they saw something about themselves they didn't see when they survive immense hardship. And another thing about tribulation is all of us who have lived, I don't think there's anybody in this room that has had a tribulation that when all of the bitterness and all the difficulty was gone, they weren't able to look back and say they learned a great deal from the experience. In other words, it's the process of spiritual and human evolution is that through calamities, and that's what Sheikh Muhammad was talking about last night, hafizullah, when he said, Al-faqatu a'yad al-muridin. Calamities are the holidays of people seeking God. Because when the calamity comes, who do you run to? God. That is part of the beauty of tribulation, is that my sister just visited Morocco and she said all these people that weren't wearing the hijab before are wearing the hijab, and she asked somebody there who was a friend, why are people, and she said, you know, all the stuff that's happening in the world is making a lot of people think. And so then you begin to see, is it evil or is it good? What's happening? Are these things happening because it's bad, or is it happening because we've forgotten who we are, we've forgotten what we're here for, and it's unfortunate we need these massive calamities to wake us up? Do you see? So then you begin to perceive the world in a different way. And so trials, ibtila, is something that we see as part of the reason why we've been created. We have appointed all that is on the earth as an adornment for you, that we may try them. Which of them is the most beautiful in works? Blessed is he who created death and life, that he may try you. Which of you is the most beautiful in works? When harm touches or afflicts the human being, he calls upon God. Then when we confer on him blessings, he says, I was given it because of a knowledge that I had. So this is the type of ingrate. No, it is a trial, but most of them know not. When Bani Israel, the Israelites, were afflicted by the pharaonic people in Egypt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ. Their men were being killed and their women were left to be servants to the. And then Allah says, وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. And in that is a grave tribulation, not from the pharaonic people, from your Lord. And that's what the Quran says to Bani Israel. وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. This is from your Lord, that tribulation. And then what's it follow? With تَأَذِّنَا رَبُّكُمْ لَنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَيَزِدَنَّكُمْ. And now your Lord has announced, if you show gratitude, we will increase you. Not in tribulation, in blessings. Because the verse begins, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them of the great days of God when he relieved you of your tribulations. So knowing that أَشِدَّةُ, like they say, al-shiddatu miftahu al-faraj, that real calamity, when it gets to intense levels, that's when the relief comes. And that's why the Arabs, they say, the darkest portion of the night announces the dawn. And there's a poem by Ibn al-Nahwi where he said, ya azmatu ashtaddi tanfariji, oh calamity, get worse, because I know you'll get better. It's a beautiful poem he wrote, where it's all about asking for the thing to get worse so it can get better. And that's what happened when the man in Sahih al-Bukhari, he had stomach problems. The Prophet ﷺ told him to take honey, and his brother gave it to him, and he came back, he said, it got worse. And he said, tell him to take more. He took more, it got worse. Tell him to take more, it got worse. Finally, he got better. And the Prophet ﷺ said, your brother's stomach has lied, and God spoke the truth. Because God said honey was a cure. And it's particularly good for cleaning out the stomach. But the reason that he got more diarrhea was because, according to Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in his book on prophetic medicine, he said that the disease originated because of things that needed to be cleared out. And so when he was given the medicine, it purged him even more. So the actual crisis was a healing crisis. That's what they call it in homeopathy. If they give you the right remedy, you often get worse before you get better. And they call it in homeopathic medicine a healing crisis. So sometimes, and that's why the most intense period for the woman in childbirth is right before she gives birth. And that's when it gets the worst. This amazing thing is about to happen. So that's part of what is going on in the world. And also, do people reckon that they will be left to say we have faith and they'll not be tested? And then the idea of when evil afflicts him, he's in despair. That's people that don't know the way the world works. Now, one of the things about moderns is that they have this idea that they're free. And what's really interesting about moderns is that because they don't have, particularly in a lot of the Western countries, is that they've lost this idea of spiritual liberation. And so they become slaves to the lowest aspects of themselves. They become slaves to drugs. They become slaves to sensual pleasures. They become slaves to food. They become slaves to image. They become slaves to all these different things out there. And they don't have this inward freedom, which is really what the Quran is talking about. Because the tahqiq al-ubudiyyah, which is the realization of one's state with God, is to realize four qualities. It's the realization of impoverishment. Once you realize that God is absolutely independent, you realize that you are absolutely dependent. So that's the realization of impoverishment. The realization of complete ajiz, which is incapacity. Once you realize that God is absolutely capable of doing all things, you realize that you're incapable. And then also ignorance. Once you realize that God is al-alam, you realize that you're the jahil. And then also the realization of the state of humility or humiliation, dhul, which is dalil, that you are humbled. And then that God is al-aziz. Now, in realization of that, and this is the beauty of it, is that you become ghani billah, you become enriched by God, you become knowledgeable by God, you become dignified by God, and you become powerful by God. So in realizing your servanthood, you're actually drawing near to these attributes that God has manifest in the world, which are divine attributes. Because here, the purpose of Islam is to show the way to Tawheed, where tanzih and tashbih dwell in this proper balance. To be human is to be relatively free, but to be as free as it is humanly possible to be free can only come about when full submission and surrender to reality is achieved. You can be relatively free. I mean, in America, people are relatively free. They can get up, get in their car, drive to where they want. They can go eat it wherever they want, buy what they want, this type of thing. There's a relative freedom. But real freedom is realizing your state of submission to God, because that frees you from putting faith in other than God. Because any faith in other than God is always going to let you down. And it's part of the nature of the world. And once you see that, you actually, when people let you down, you realize they're doing you a favor. And you don't have anger towards them, because they're being human. That's the whole point. Because the only one that won't let you down is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody else lets you down. And then it's interesting that this idea, and on page 118, they say that all things have something in terms of tashbih. In other words, everything in creation. And it's not adab to mention things like pigs or things. There's no point in doing that. You speak in universals, not in particulars. That's something ignorant people will bring that up. When you say everything has some tashbih or something that expresses something about the nature of God in the world. When you look, the first they look is the mineral world, that a rock. And so one of the things about the rock is that the tanzih is much more manifest, the otherness of God. In other words, that you can't really see much in a rock that would remind you of God. But one of the things that does remind you about the nature of a rock is its permanence. It's not vegetative. It has a type of permanence in the world that is very different from other things. It's solid and it's powerful. Also, the fact that planets, which are essentially almost big rocks, God moves them around in creation and can smash them up against each other. It's an indication of his qudra. If you go to the vegetative life, then it has obviously one of the most important attributes of the divine, which is life, al-haya. And there are seven attributes, and they call them here the seven leaders. And this is haya, life, knowledge, ilm, sam', hearing, basar, sight, irada, will, qudra, power, and then kalam, speech. When you look at a vegetable, a vegetable has life, but it doesn't have will, it doesn't have, do you see? So it really doesn't have any other than life. So in that way, it reflects something of this divine. But when you look at the human being, you come to something very different, because suddenly you see a human being has all seven of these attributes. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In your own souls, don't you see? In other words, don't you see what God has given you? He has given you as His greatest sign. In your own souls is the greatest sign of God. And this is the meaning of this idea of man being in the image. It is not in any anthropomorphic sense. The human being reflects these seven key attributes of God, which is life, knowledge, hearing, sight, will, qudra, capability, and speech. I'm mutakallim, I'm qadir, I'm alim, I'm all these things, and these are attributes of God. He put them in me in order to reflect His nature so that we would know who God is. And that's the meaning of, if you know yourself, you know your Lord, because this is the closest thing to you. And that's why self-knowledge is at the essence of Islam, of knowing who you are. But you have to have it in the proper perspective, because you're also jahil, you're also dead, you're also powerless, you're also deaf, dumb, speechless, without volition. You see, so this is the human being. The human condition is this really interesting. And then in looking at why we've been given this, because we were meant to stand as khalifa in the earth. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I'm placing a caliph in the earth. Now, on page 120 and 121, I personally don't like the way that they did this. It's kind of done in a humorous American way. I didn't feel that it was appropriate. I mean, there's a few things in the book. There's another section towards the end that bothers me. But, I mean, generally, the book is so good that I'm going to go overlook that section. I mean, it's not that bad, but things like God has something up His sleeve and next God rubbed it in a bit. That's not the way traditional scholars in any way would describe that. So I'll look at it like, لِكُلِّ جَوَادٍ كَبْوَةٍ وَلِكُلِّ حُسَامٍ نَبْوَةٍ وَلِكُلِّ عَالِمٍ هَفْوَةٍ. Every steed stumbles, and every razor-sharp sword has a blunt point, and every scholar has slips. So anybody that writes and does anything is ultimately going to do that. So, but that's just something. I've certainly done that myself on many occasions, so I'm not going to take them to account. But I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. Just about the question. Now, they kind of indicate that the angels here, they seemed a bit upset. I mean, when they ask the question, it's called istifham. It's not i'tirad, because there's two types of questions. Question that is a type of question where somebody rejects something, and then a question where somebody's trying to get information. And that's considered a question where they were actually asking for information.